And perhaps you could repeat the approval minutes then for the recording.
Okay, so the minutes were, motion was from Sandy to approve them and seconded by, was it Steph?
Yeah.
Okay, and now we're going to vote. So all in favor say aye.
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 All right, no opposed? Okay, the minutes are approved.
I just abstain.
Okay, yeah, because you weren't there. Okay.
Yeah.
And so how about additions or changes to the agenda? Okay.
None.
And how about public input? I don't think we had anybody contacting Eileen about public input. We do have a presentation, but all right. All right, well, so next on the agenda is talking about the membership of ASAC, and we are very pleased to have Kathy McNeil join us. Kathy's been a longtime volunteer in many areas, but most recently with the COVID and fires, doing outreach to members or people who have utilized the senior program. And Kathy, do you want to say anything more about your background?
I've worked at the senior center for 3 years with Food and Friends. And I volunteered for miscellaneous things. I saw on the agenda the volunteer fair and some of the ice cream specials and different things at the senior center. And I have been helping out the office and making phone calls for the senior phone body, the Adopt a Neighbor program, and just you know, how are you doing wellness check?
Yeah, and
that's all I
You'd actually had a goal of doing more of this kind of outreach, so it's been really great to have somebody who has been.
Does it need questions?
Yeah.
And I think we need to have Mike Gardner as chair of APRC formally appoint Kathy.
Oh, right. Okay, Mike.
Yeah, so I would just like to say one of my duties as chair of Park and Recreation Commission is to appoint subcommittee members, and I'd like at this time to appoint Kathy McNeil to the Ashland Senior Advisory Committee. So welcome, Kathy.
Welcome.
Yeah. Yes, welcome. We're glad to have you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
So we have, in our packet, we have a member term, and so you can review that, and you'll see that some of our terms are expiring at the end of this year, and one of them is Mike Hirsch, who is not here. But Eileen tells me that he has agreed to renew his participation, so that's good. So that leaves me and Mary. So have you? What have you?
You know, I have not given it any thought at all at this point, but I am. So by our next meeting, is that sufficient? Or before? I could let Eileen know before, or you, and both you and Eileen. And,
okay. All right. Well, I'm happy to renew. two of the guests here today, Eddie Wallace and Barbara Jarvis, are here as observers of our meeting and to see whether this would be a good fit for their background and interests. So thank you for participating. Last time we had the chair and co-chair issue resolved, and so that will probably need to be revisited at a subsequent meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Anne, if I could just add a little bit. Anne, did you say you were going to renew? I didn't catch that. Okay, Anne will renew, and Mary's going to think about it, and Mike said he'll renew. And I guess we just want to explain a little bit that, Anne, you've been doing some recruitment behind the scenes and helped me brainstorm to recruit Kathy. But the application is available online. It has been an open recruitment ever since we tried to recruit last year. So if there are other people that you think might be interested in joining us, or if any other members have a proposal of someone to more personally recruit, I suggest that you chat with Anne offline and we kind of work on that. I think it's been helpful for ASAC to strategically recruit to keep our diversity intact. And obviously we could diversify in some new directions as well.
Okay, so we do have a presentation today from on 20s Enough that was in the agenda packet. Hopefully everybody's had a chance to look at the executive summary. And I understand that there are several individuals from that initiative that are here. The timing allowed for that is 10 minutes, and it was intended to be inclusive of the presentation as well as discussion and consideration of a motion about the ASAC's response to the presentation. I think we can go just a little bit longer because we didn't have public comment, but just be mindful that we also have a very packed agenda with regard to our goals and strategies. So I will be kind of watching the clock, and actually I'd like to be watching the clock, but I think I need to get out of full screen so I can do that. Anyway, so who's going to start it off for you all that are presenting? And are you going to need to have a shared screen, or are you going to be speaking verbally?
Gary, you're muted. I think Gary's trying to start it off, but you're muted, Gary.
Great, Gary. Thank you. Thank you very much for inviting us to attend your meeting. We appreciate the opportunity to speak. Mark Broliard is going to basically take responsibility for the presentation, assuming that he's on the call. Is he there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. Mark, it's all yours.
Well, thank you guys for having us here. So you have myself and Linda from the Transportation Commission. And we have spent a lot of time, specifically Gary, working really hard on this, and Brian also. So my part of it is, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing that's in your packet. If you want to ask questions based upon what's in your packet of what we sent to you, you're more than welcome to ask us. My biggest thing to talk about today is 20 is plenty, or whatever you want to call it, is the safety aspect of it. And just by lowering the speed limits by 5 miles an hour, we can have a huge impact in the reduction of safety and accidents and the cost in the city of Ashland. If you look at just one thing, if we reduce the accidents by almost $1 million by lowering the speed limits by 5 miles an hour, that's a lot of money. I don't know about you guys, but $1 million is quite a chunk of change. And we can also lower the rate of people going to the hospital and severity of the accidents that are caused. So in your packet, you will see that we actually wrote in the executive summary that 14% of accidents in the city of Ashland involve bicycles and pedestrians. Actually, in the year 2020, that number went up to 17%. So my big thing on this is, how can we make that number be more safer? How is it going to make it so people can walk and ride effectively in the city of Ashland? And one of our things is to lower the speed limit by 5 miles an hour. So we are asking at the beginning of this meeting that we ask the Public Works to pursue reducing the speed limits by 5 miles an hour, or the maximum speed reduction they can do according to ORS 810.180. That's for you guys to go to the council with. We're also asking, we asked the Southern Oregon Legislature delegation to ensure that Ashland is included among the jurisdictions which would be empowered, as Portland currently is, to set speed limits on roadways under city jurisdiction pursuant to House Bill 4103. I'm going to get to part of the executive summary here, but the big thing is to reduce the incidence and severity of motor vehicle collisions, improve safety for people and for both walking and biking, and increase mode share bicycling and walking. The other aspect of things is more Gary and Brian's aspect of it, but for me, those are the things that I want to talk about from the Transportation Commission. Crap, I just read where it's at. I'm working on three computers. I'm so sorry to do that to you guys. Also, Ashland is lacking a lot of sidewalks. I don't know if you guys have noticed around town, but Ashland doesn't have a lot of sidewalks. Faith Street, not very much sidewalks. It's a huge interconnector between Siskiyou and Main Street. There's a lot of walking people there. It's 25-mile-an-hour zone. If they lower that to 20, people might feel a little more safer walking right there. Terror Street, where everybody gets up to the watershed. Morton Street, where people get up to the watershed. There are no sidewalks. So the modal equity part of this is not there. So do you feel safe walking up a hill when people are going by you at 25? Wouldn't you feel more safer if you were doing 20? You saw from everything else in there where we feel about this. So with that, I hit my safety part. Gary will probably talk about the greenhouse gas aspect of it. And anybody else that's willing to ask us questions, they're more than willing to ask us.
Okay.
I'm Brian Sewell. I can go ahead with the financial aspects. I'm on the Climate Conservation and Climate Outreach Commission. And I think the main thing to consider about this idea is the safety implications. That would be the greatest benefit, but there would be financial implications. And can I share my screen real quickly?
Natalie?
You should have permission to do that, Brian.
Mm-hmm. Can you see it?
Mm-hmm.
So the main savings would come from two areas. One would be with decreased speeds, the severity of crashes is much less, and that isn't a linear relationship. Death, injury, and property damage would, based on models from other cities, would save about $750,000 annually in Ashland. We would anticipate that the fatalities in Ashland would decrease from 2 every 5 years to approximately 1, and that has a savings. Severe Class A injuries would decrease from about 11 to 7.5 per year. Moderate injuries would decrease from about 95 to 75 every 5 years. And the severe class injuries were from 11 to 7.5 per 5 years. Minor injuries would decrease very significantly over 5 years, and there would be property damage savings. And when you total up all of those savings come to about $750,000. The other main area where money would be saved would be in fuel savings. What's been shown in other cities that have done this is that vehicle miles driven decrease by about 5% when you lower the speed limit by 5 miles per hour, especially in residential areas, as people switch from driving to walking and biking more in an environment that they feel safer in, where cars aren't going so fast around them. And the fuel savings for that would be about 1.6 million miles for the Ashland citizens annually. There would also be financial savings that are much harder to quantify in decreased CO2 emissions and Ashland's contribution to greenhouse gases, particulate pollution, microplastic, and noise pollution. And this comes from decreased miles driven. And there would be also health benefits that are hard to financially quantify. As the citizenry increased walking and cycling, there would be a decrease in vehicular speeds, which would get people out more, and we'd see increased health benefits such as decreases in obesity and diabetes and benefits in cardiovascular health. So there would be significant savings to our community if we did this. In terms of the costs, there's hard costs, which includes signage. When Portland did this, their signage costs were about $300,000, and it's estimated that the Ashland signage would be at least $18,000 if you look at how many miles we'd have to put, miles of roadway we'd have to put signs on in Ashland compared to Portland. But the overall estimate of cost would be somewhere around $100,000, and that would vary significantly upon the degree of enforcement and the style of enforcement, whether there was more radar, more staffing by the police department, you know, cameras that can take a picture of your license and record your speed, et cetera. And in some cities that have done this, there have been increased infrastructure benefits where there's been better sideways, more miles of streets with adequate safe sideways, and more protected bike lanes that has a certain cost. So I think it's hard to exactly know what the cost would be, but certainly the benefits would outweigh the costs from a financial point of view. Thank you.
Could you clarify whether the costs that you're, the savings cost are, these are in, to individual people, not to the city, is am I right?
No, that would, I mean, an individual person wouldn't save $750,000 annually.
Is your calculation based on money that the city would save, or that collectively?
I think collectively the community. I mean, the city wouldn't save, for instance, on hospital costs.
Right.
If somebody was injured, that would be insurance companies and individuals who have to pay the hospital costs. Yeah, and then the individuals that fuel their cars if they're driving less miles.
Mary, you had a question.
I do. What is the buy-in from local police? I mean, I know it says here increased staff, those kinds of things, possible enforcement. What is what's the buy-in from local police?
I haven't had those discussions. I kind of came late to the group, and I don't know if Gary or Mark have, but I think that's definitely the city engineers and the police have to be involved in the process and have buy-in with that.
I have spoken with the police department about it, specifically Officer McLennan, who's a traffic enforcement officer. As far as part of it goes, like how do you patrol the 30 and 35 ones, that'd be completely different than it would be for residential areas. So the police department, for the residential areas, they are for it. For our main thoroughfares, they would have to look more into it. That's per them. Because we got to keep the flow of traffic still going on East Main. We still have to go on North Main. On county roads, there still is some things that we have to work through. But Officer McLennan said he'd be very, very much willing to look at it more. He specifically did mention the residential streets, not a problem. So I did have buy-in for the residential.
From this particular individual?
Yeah,
I mean, he's not budgeting. He's not budgeting for the staff, right?
No, but he's the one in charge of traffic enforcement.
So what about other people? I'm having a little, since the screen is up, I'm Mike Hirsch.
Not sure.
Two things. Mac is the motorcycle cop you see around. Second of all, in the residential areas, actually no enforcement now. And people go 35 and the 25 or the 20, it doesn't matter. The real problem, if you're going to have 20 miles an hour speed limit in much of the city, which in Ashland would be a good thing, is how can we realistically enforce it? I know even down Oak, where the speed limit's 25 to 40.
Mm-hmm.
So if people don't pay attention to the sign, what's the difference what the sign says?
Yeah, I think that's a conversation we'd have to have with the police department in the city. But for instance, if you're in Medford, you'll see a little police van with a camera, a video camera, and you'll see it flash and take a picture of your license plate if you're
mm-hmm. Yes.
They'll send out tickets, and that's a, I would imagine it's a relatively inexpensive way of doing enforcement. When you hire another officer and pay their benefits, it becomes very expensive.
And I have a question. Yeah, go ahead, Sandy. Just a question of clarification. Are you meaning that it would be 20 miles an hour on all streets in the city, or a deduction of 5 miles an hour? So if it's 35, it would then go to 30? Or what is it that you're asking?
But the Oregon Revised Statute allows the city to reduce the speed limit on certain streets by 5 miles an hour. And that's the limit of that statute is for non-arterials. So it doesn't include Main Street, Highway 66, Ashland Street. Those major thoroughfares wouldn't be subjected to a lower speed if this were endorsed by the council. I think it bears noting that what we're proposing is that we get the conversation started, that we all agree that safer streets are an essential part of making our community livable for all of us. And so in large part, what we're asking the Senior Advisory Commission for is to encourage, basically endorse the recommendation that we've set forth as a way to ask the council to begin the exploration with the Public Works Department and the Police Department in ways that we can reduce the speeds and thereby increase safety and also make it more practical for people to walk and bike. Right now, most people don't bicycle because they understand it to be unsafe. And that is unfortunately the case. Reducing the speeds helps to make it safer, not necessarily safe, but safer. And it's all incremental, right? We take little baby steps to get where we want to go. And so this in some ways is the first of many baby steps that we'll need to take to make our community more livable for everyone.
Eileen, I think you had your hand up at one point. Where are you?
I did. I wasn't sure if the presentation part was over. I wanted to make sure we got through everything. Gary, were you having a portion?
No, I was hoping we would have a conversation with questions and answers, which
okay.
is exactly what's happening. Thank you for
Good.
Asking.
And thank you to Mark for unsharing your screen. That was helpful. Or Brian, forget who did that.
I guess one of the things about endorsing something, it applies a certain amount of certainly a strong support for the concept. And I'm just wondering if anybody has a concern about, you know, we're speaking, if in this capacity, we would be speaking for our constituents, which are seniors, but they're also working adult families whose parents, we help with information and assistance. And so I'm just wondering if we feel that there is sort of a homogeneous group that we would be speaking for that would have interest in this particular change. Obviously, seniors are pedestrians and bicyclists, but they're also drivers. And then of course, we also recognize that we have a very large tourist population. So What do people think about whether or not this would be, this idea would be generally embraced by the people that we represent?
Can I just say one sentence just real quick? Is that seniors are the most vulnerable population really when it comes to the likelihood of being injured severely in an accident. That's one thing to think about.
Kids. And that it goes for not only whether they're walking or bicycling, but also driving a car. We're just more fragile, right? We break easier. And so the reduced speeds reduces accidents independent of what mode we're using to get from one place in town to another.
Sandy?
Well, I think, you know, personally, I feel I could endorse this. And I'm also thinking, you know, I'm chairing our subgroup of Livable Ashland. And I think this kind of thing fits in with that fairly well, and might even, I'm thinking, you know, in the future, if it is endorsed and endorsed by the city, it might be even something we could get a small grant for to do. I don't know that, you know, to the extent of the cost, but it might be something that would fit fairly well into that initiative. So I think it's a good idea.
You know, somebody we haven't heard from is Michael Black, and you know, you're probably a little more plugged into the overall group of, you know, commissioners and council and things like that. What would be your thoughts about whether this would accomplish the goals that that we've been told about?
So I, first of all, let me just say, I think reducing the speed on some streets is a great idea. I think the idea of moving cars slower is a good idea for safety, but I don't think it's the only idea. I think there are a lot of other things that need to be done. And I think it's easy to say that if cars were going slower in general, things would be better. But I think the problem that I have here is two things. One is a procedural thing. I don't think it's appropriate for, where I would advise the commission or the committee not to endorse a plan that hasn't been developed yet. Maybe show support for it, for the idea of exploration, but maybe endorse is too strong a term for something that hasn't been explored yet. Second, I think, you know, just from a practical standpoint, and I am involved in this world, I'm a city planner by trade, and I am an active transportation professional, and I work in this area. And I think we are getting speeds lower, I think, is a really good thing, but it takes more than changing signs. It takes engineering, enforcement, education, encouragement, and evaluation. And those are the five E's. And anytime that you ever make any major changes to transportation infrastructure, those are the five things that have to be evaluated or have to be checkboxed. You got to go through all five of those. It used to be the three E's. It used to be just engineering, education, and enforcement. Mm-hmm. They added encouragement to it and evaluation so that you can look at it and you can do trials and things like that to make sure that it's working the way that you're intending it to. And I think this, what we're looking at here is an idea. And I think what the people are asking for is for support to get the city to move on something to start an evaluation. So I would just caution you away from endorsing a plan that hasn't been developed and maybe showing some support for it. If you feel like you support the idea, maybe showing support for it would be a better term as opposed to endorsing.
Mike Hirsch?
Well, first of all, I second what Michael Black said. And second of all, I think what we need is the overarching issue, how to make the city safer for bikers and walkers. And obviously, sidewalks would really help. I'm amazed, over 20,000 people, how few sidewalks we have in rural and non-downtown areas, and that certainly would help too. I would suggest that we, quote, I don't know if endorse is a bad word, but endorse a serious city evaluation of reducing pedestrian and bicyclists' injuries and accidents.
However you do it.
However you do it, look at the overall picture rather than go into, oh, it's speed limits we want. There may be other things that'll do better than speed limits, or maybe an evaluation will show that speed limits are wonderful. But I think the thing of evaluation should come first.
Anybody else, Steph?
One
we also the, have a time issue. So,
one thing that I notice is in neighborhoods above the boulevard, we're getting a lot more children on the streets,
mm-hmm.
and we don't have sidewalks nor lighting, so that's a concern. I have a concern about Ashland not being able to be faster. I live on Taylor, and Ashland is a three-way stop, and people coming up Ashland go really fast because they don't have to stop at the stop sign. And there have been accidents on Taylor and Ashland. So I think we also need to look at speed on streets like Ashland in the residential areas.
Well, you know, we're going to have to move on. And I'm hearing something in support of exploration about how to improve safety for pedestrians and bikers and drivers who could also be injured, but not necessarily specifying a particular solution at this point until more analysis is done. What is there a consensus? Because we could have a motion if there is.
I would certainly be in support of further investigation. And I mean, I think, you know, I mean, obviously what was presented to us was some really good figures on costs. I mean, you know, assume costs. I think maybe a little more attention paid to things like cost benefits and incorporating other ideas that we've heard here in terms of what that further investigation means would be really good.
Is anyone prepared to make a motion?
Okay, put all that together in a nice, neat little sentence. Is that what you mean, Anne?
Yes. The Ashland Senior Advisory Committee supports the exploration of improved safety and I don't know, help.
Maybe that's all we need to do is you know, that kind of broader support. But like I said, I would like to see, I mean, you know, it's the tendency is that you talk to a couple of people and, you know, those are the benefits. I saw a few things in the benefit list there from, you know, the reduced speed that really opened themselves up to serious questions and would need to have a little more evidence-based support behind them. So, you know, I think tightening up everything would just be really good. I mean, I certainly would be for it. Further investigation.
Of the best methods to mm-hmm. achieve the goals that you're identifying, because your goals are good goals.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's some question around methods.
And firming up the benefit part of it as well.
Okay. So.
Exploring that further.
Is anybody prepared to?
Wordsmith that one, huh?
Eileen?
Eileen is.
Been trying to write from some of what people said, so let me take a crack at it. As staff, I can't formally make the motion, but somebody else could say what she said, if you like it, or adapt it. So ASAC supports exploration of improved street safety for all ages, including exploration of lowering of speed limits as one possible tool.
I'll move that.
Okay, is there a second?
Sure.
Okay, Mary, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Do we have, is there anybody opposed? What?
And I think you might need to pause for discussion after the motion.
Okay.
If there's any further discussion now that we have a motion on the floor.
Mike?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the motion needs to mention reducing the speed limit. The objective is to evaluate ways, however you want to say it, of improving pedestrian and bicycle, because those are the two areas we're mostly concerned about, is pedestrian and bicycle safety. And however the evaluation team wants to look at it, that should be up to them, because they're the ones that have to come up with a solution that garners support.
Do people, how do people feel in general about that? That change in verbiage.
I think Mike Gardner had a comment as well. Maybe we should hear that first.
Well, I was just going to say that whereas I support the notion that these folks have brought forward to us, I'm uncomfortable with endorsing or even supporting the motion that we have on the table, just because I kind of feel that police and public works, the engineering end of it, really need to be on the front end of decisions moving forward. And I realize that this group is probably looking for public input, and that's why you're coming to us. But I think the information is good for us. I just wanted the opportunity to say that I wasn't going to vote for the motion, just because I don't feel comfortable with doing that. That's what I was going to say.
So but I'm hearing some people want an exploration and some people want more information before we provide endorsement or support.
Can we amend the motion? We can.
Absolutely.
Because I think, you know what Mike said, Mr. Gardner, when I think in terms of further investigation, certainly in my mind, and it wasn't stated clear enough, that includes discussion with the police department and public works.
Well, we're asking for that. You're saying we're asking for that to have...
to be a part of all of that, that needs to be work that's done, which I think... Gary, didn't you say that's you're doing that or you're going to be doing that? I don't know.
Well, you're looking for support to go to the council with is what I'm hearing.
Mm.
So are we prepared to recommend that we're behind that at this point in time, or are we asking for more?
I need to clarify with Mike if that was an amendment to the... to the motion, and then I would need to second that in terms of taking out the part of it with regards to speed limit. I think that's what he said.
That's what I did mean.
So I'm willing to accept your amendment.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But somebody mute. Just got background noise.
Yeah, we got some other conversation going on somewhere.
Yeah, okay. All right. So So it's been moved and seconded that we we're supporting the idea of exploration of pedestrian and bicycle safety. Do we have any other language that we need to attach to that? And then we have some people who are dissenting from taking a position. So.
And I also saw that Gary, Linda, and Michael Black had a hand up briefly. I don't know if they still want to have some comment before we try to finalize.
I think you should vote. I think it probably would be inappropriate for us to comment in the middle of a vote.
Okay. So let me see if we are clear on what we're voting on.
Yeah, let's redo all this.
Me read what I have?
Yeah.
So maybe what would be best is I'll take back the motion that I made, and then you could make a new motion.
I'm confused.
We have the motion. We have a second. We had an amendment to change the motion to eliminate part of the motion, the part about the speed. Oh, right.
And you've accepted that.
I've accepted that. You could read that without that.
Okay. Why don't I read that and we'll see if we have a second for the revised.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. ASAC supports exploration of improved bicycle and pedestrian safety for all ages.
Is there a second?
I'll second it just so that we can vote. How's that?
All right. Can I see a show of hands from SEC members for your support of that motion? Okay. It sounds, are there no's? All right. I think what we're saying is that it's not that there's hostility towards the idea of your proposal. It's just that I think we feel we don't have enough information to endorse or even strongly support in a way that would be meaningful to you at this point. And we hope that you would come back when you have a little more of the questions that have been raised. Sandy? You got to unmute, Sandy.
I'm sorry. Not only the questions raised, but I would want to know from people in the city who would be involved in this that they support it and are willing to move forward on it. I think otherwise, I heard you say McLennan is in favor of it, but I don't know, maybe it's the cart before the horse here. And I'd want to know that there's more of a possibility of it happening and at least that it's supported by those people that would need to implement it. I meant what I said before. I do think it's a good idea, but I'm listening to this conversation and that's what made me change my mind. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we really do need to move on, and I'm sorry that it's taken this long, and I hope you don't feel like it's been a waste of your time, because we're very happy to know about your efforts and are eager to hear more about them.
Could you just tell us what more you would like from us other than a 10-minute presentation?
I think what I heard was we want more information about the police, the public works, and other alternatives that might accomplish some of the same goals. Does anybody else have any other thing to add to that?
Yeah, I would want I would want you to have gone to the Transportation Commission.
Well, I think they did. They did go. Oh.
And did you support it?
Can I say something?
No, the motion actually died, so we have to.
Yeah. Yeah, it died, and I've been raising my hand for a little bit here, and I wonder, since we're out of the motion, if I could say something really quick.
Yeah.
First of all, I don't think the commission or the committee needs to vote on anything to say they support active transportation in the community. I think that's and any kind of improvements that would improve the walkability and bikeability for the community improves the walkability and bikeability for the senior community. Second, I think that one of the biggest issues with this is a procedural issue where advisory committees are appointed by the city council and this on the city side. We're not advisory to the city council. You're advisory to the Parks Commission. And I think what the group here would like to do is to get support or garner support to have the city council direct the public works department to move forward on an investigation. And that, I think that's something for the city council to decide. And I don't know that it is the purview of especially the ASAC, but I think advisory committees to direct staff and to direct the city council to have staff create programs and things like that. I did, on the other hand, though, get an email from Scott Fleury that said this is something that they would like to look into, that they would like to tie it to their transportation system plan and the upcoming city's traffic calming plan. So I do think this is something that is going to have support, and people are going to look into this, and the city council is going to hear about this with the Transportation Commission as well, because it's something that staff is going to look at through the process of some of the other programs that they're doing. So again, I think it's, first of all, I don't think it's a secret that the ASAC supports active transportation. And second, I don't think that you need a motion to say that. And third, I think you're making a recommendation to the city council to direct staff to do something. And I just don't think that that's something that the ASAC should be doing.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that, Michael. I think that it probably clarifies, not just in this instance, but in other ones that may arise, what our role is. And well, this was an education for us. So we do need to move on to our standing support. So guests are welcome to stay, but thank you for those of you who are not staying and for having visited us. All right. The standing reports. Senior services. Gosh, the goals. That's a very important part of what we're doing today. So Eileen.
Thank you. I can see that we're a little bit behind, so we'll see what we can do with this. So I was asked at the last meeting, Sandy, you asked us to come back with a review of our goals. These are the goals that we set in November 2019, and they were later approved by the commission. Because indeed we are advisory to the commission and they approve these goals for us. And it's been, I guess about, suddenly I'm not doing the math right. Has it been just a little over a year? It hasn't been 2 years since we set this.
I feel like it's been longer.
Wrong. You know what it is? I had it wrong. We must have set them in November 2018. So mm-hmm. Yeah. Take that correction on this part of your packet. So it's been about 2 years since we did them, and then they were approved by the Rec Commission on January 28th, 2019. That's where the 19 was. And so I gave you a little grid, which I know you don't want me to read out loud to you, to describe just really the highlights of what we've done in each of these categories. I know when we took on these goals, we knew it was a very ambitious spread of goals. And I remember responding to an inquiry from one of the commissioners, was this realistic? And I said, well, we can't do all of them 100%, but we can do some on all of them during this biennium. And indeed, I think we've made remarkable progress on many of them. I feel like we did a tremendous job with partnerships that then really carried forward into this year of two major crises, that those partnerships were in place for us, made a huge difference in our ability to serve our community and be a link for our community. One of our big goals that I knew was going to come later was identify and reach frail or vulnerable seniors. We've been helping frail or vulnerable seniors who were already connected to Ashland Senior Center the entire time. But what we hadn't done prior to the pandemic was really bring online a larger program to kind of get below the tip of that iceberg and find the people who are vulnerable precisely because they aren't connected to services and resources. But with the COVID pandemic, that essentially became the core of our work for many, many months until we were able to regroup and start to bring things like education back online. And we heard earlier how Kathy single-handedly made so many outreach calls for us early on. Staff were each taking a share because ultimately we called first the most vulnerable in our lists and eventually every single senior that we had a phone number for who had ever engaged with us in any way to just check in and offer the services as Kathy named and connect them to other resources in the community. And so I feel like, you know, we couldn't have known 2 years ago what was the best way that was going to serve the more vulnerable seniors in our community. And ultimately, I think that some of what we've done in this last year has been more useful than bringing the potential gatekeeper program we had discussed online. We've also done a whole lot in terms of our raising community awareness and social marketing. I don't think we ever managed to write up one social marketing plan, but bit by bit, we really changed. Staff have been fantastic at figuring out more and more ways to reach our community. And the evidence of that was larger and larger and larger activities and events and enrollment and more people calling us. We were on an enormous upward swing with our statistics when it all came crashing down with the pandemic. We also made a lot of progress in terms of advocacy. Our highest strategy was to work on the age-friendly communities. And indeed, we were able to convince the city and in partnership with the commission to sign on to the network of age-friendly communities that AARP runs. And we have a work group that pulled itself up by its bootstraps, you know, some many months into COVID and has been continuing to meet over Zoom and do the kind of 3-year plan that being part of that network requires of doing assessment and coming up with potential changes and implementing that plan over the next few years. And I feel like considering what this last year has been like, I'm very proud of the progress that's been made. If we had done nothing in the last year, we would have good reason, but instead that committee has moved ahead. And I also named some other ways that we've done advocacy in our community. Facilities, I thought, oh, well, you know, we added that one because by the time I had started in August and by the time we were planning in November, I had become quite aware of how old our senior center is and how much of my time personally the facility issue was going to take. But it was really gratifying to think about all, not just the minor fixes that go on constantly and that dog our days, but some really major improvements that have been done over the last 2 years, replacing the deck. I want to shout out to Mary Russell Miller. She was the first person who walked onto the deck from that side, from the Hunter Park side and said, ew, why is it squishy here? And thankfully, we discovered all the dry rot under there before somebody fell through. So, you know, one of the many surprising ways that ASAC members help our program. And we added bike parking, one of the ways we endorse healthy transportation. And we managed to repaint the entire interior of the senior center and put up new bulletin boards and really freshen our look, which was very much aligned with our goal to broaden our audience. You know, we needed to not look like a shabby rundown place that new people weren't going to be interested in hanging out at. But I probably my biggest accomplishment that I'm super excited about is that we managed to install acoustic panels in the dining room. I had heard from Sharon Laws, who was long ago the director at the Senior Center, that it was something that they'd wanted to solve for decades. And we figured out how to do it, and we changed the atmosphere in that room. And I keep hoping I'll convince somebody to fund us for the other room. I have ideas about that. And that turned out to be an amazing value as we went on to have bigger and bigger events, because it changed the climate in the room that people could actually talk to each other and engage. For instance, when we had our senior volunteer fair, that was just an enormous event, kind of the culmination of all those partnerships we've been building up and all that outreach and spreading our reach to where we had 150 people in our building that day. And you could hear the difference between the room that used to be our loud room and its acoustic panels versus the room that used to be the quieter room but didn't get that treatment. I had to go hand out cough drops to those poor people staffing the table. They'd been shouting so much. So big shout out to Natalie, who has done incredible programming and really moved us from an occasional piece of education. Yay. There's her applause. Just an occasional piece of education attended by five people to having monthly programs where we were having 40, even 70 people, I think we had the day that the Ashland Connector came out, really transforming and really fitting our goals of not just providing recreation, but having all kinds of tools for healthy aging that we were connecting our senior community with. And I'm happy to say Natalie got that program literally back online. And I think Anne is our next presenter. So we're back to having monthly education on the Zoom format, and we'll of course go back in person. And services, you know, continue to be a big core of what we do, of helping connect our seniors to the services in the community. So that's my report on where we're at. I can stop and take any questions, but I think our next question is where do we go from here? And I've mentioned to Anne that I feel like, especially with as full as our meeting was today, that if we do want to reevaluate those goals for the next biennium, we probably want to set up a special meeting for that and do that separately. But I will tell you my personal assessment is these are all really important goals, and it might be more important to change our strategies but keep the same goals, or you may guide choose that you want to tweak our goals as well. So I'm going to stop there and see if there's questions.
Mike.
You know, it appears that while groups have made good progress on several of the goals, I don't know that we've completed any of them. That's correct, right?
I feel like we might have completed our partnership goal, but it doesn't, the partnership or outreach never changes. It still needs right. to be, you know, our PR is just a core function of what we do. For instance, one of my goals with partnerships was to bring in some students from the nursing program, and we had planned to do that when the epidemic hit. So, for instance, if we we were to keep that goal, that would be a new strategy under that goal.
Right.
To bring in students.
So I guess I would just finish up and say, you know, I think we have a good list. I would hate to overburden us with more goals than we can accomplish, but I suppose if there's a specific area that we think we're missing that we need to add that goal, obviously it would be in our interest to do that. But I think we created a good list to begin with, and I'm pretty impressed with the progress that we've made, and hopefully we can at some point in time in the not too distant future actually check some of these off, you know, the list as accomplished, you know, 100%. So anyways, that was my input.
Sandy.
Well, I agree with Mike. I think especially in, I mean, we're not out of COVID yet. And so I think it would really be ridiculous, frankly, for us to think of more goals at this time. I think it's remarkable that we've done as well with the ones we have. So I agree there may be some strategies that we want to look at. And you know, maybe we need a separate meeting to do that. I don't know. But I can't see us doing any more, particularly maybe as the Livable Ashland subgroup becomes more out of the assessment and into the implementation phase. That also I think will help, because that's a part of this group also. Mm-hmm. So I can't see us spending a lot of time on developing new goals.
Mike Kirsch?
I strongly agree with Sandy.
Okay. Yeah, I do think that sometimes too, for me, goal setting and even brainstorming or something like that, I'd prefer to have us be in a more personal environment, which if that doesn't happen anytime soon, we might have to revisit it. But I do think that that might be a more productive venue. And I do think that there are things that we could be looking at, but probably not in the next several months. So maybe that's something we revisit the idea of having some kind of review of goal setting or strategies around goal setting, perhaps in the new year. I mean, the new whatever fiscal year, the July timeframe.
Here.
All right. So we're now at the standing reports. Eileen. Oh, did you want to comment on any of your monthly report items? You were going to do this in lieu of that.
I can come back to my report. I just, in terms of finishing the goals, I do want to let everybody know that we are going into a new biennium, and it was a fortunate almost coincidence that we started our other goals some months before then, maybe 6-8 months before the new biennium. So, but I'm really happy to sit tight for the upcoming biennium. Part of that biennium goals is budget, but I can tell you it's going to be a very constrained budget year. So it's not a case of, well, do we have a big new goal? Let's ask for big new money, because I don't see that happening. It may be the opposite of needing to advocate to keep what funding we have. So.
Well, there's a question. I think, we have sort of an annual report to council, which we haven't had this year yet. And of course, they have lots of things on their plate. I think you need to let us know if you think there's any risk to contraction of what we've started here, because the work that was done in restructuring the senior program it would be a shame if there were contractions in what services that we are providing, because we're, you know, we've definitely gotten people accustomed to a different level of service. So I don't know how to evaluate whether or not we should be doing some advocacy or at least some outreach to our new council members who may not be familiar with the history of the restructuring and the priorities that have been established with the former composition of the council. Steph, do you feel like we need to be engaging?
If you're muted.
I think one of the things that would be important to stress is the role that you played in dealing with COVID and the increased role that Senior Services has had in terms of Adopt a Neighbor and other programs. We've basically been the social service arm of the city council in that sense. So. So I think it's important to emphasize the fact that we've really provided services to the entire community,
mm-hmm.
all age friendly.
Well, we can talk offline about how you might do that, but I just wanted to raise the issue that I want to make sure that there's not something lost in the translation. Eileen?
I wonder if I can get back to the committee. The budget is quite a process of goal setting among the APRC, the Parks and Rec Commission, and reporting and such to the City Council and advocacy opportunities at different stages. But I think the timeline is just now being laid out. So, Michael, does that sound right to you if I get back to ASAC on timing or requests for speaking to different goal and budget items?
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Yeah, we still have a little bit of work to do on the 30,000 foot view, so, or 100,000 foot view.
All right. All right. So I think, though, of your regular monthly report, Eileen, you're just assuming that everybody's read it. And if anybody has any questions about it, you should ask them now because we're going to move on. Okay. So APRC update, Mike.
You know, I really don't have anything specific that relates to seniors at this point. As was just discussed, we are really right at the very, very, very beginnings of the budget season, and we'll probably have to update you at the next meeting if there's, you know, when we see where things are going. But I can't think of really any particular items that from the commission that apply here, so I'll pass.
Okay. Okay. Steph, you have something from the council?
Well, we all know that there's a new council and that at this point there aren't any specific recommendations yet for who's going to be a liaison to what. So that's kind of up in the air. The council did approve a development of a new commission on social justice and minority, looking at racial and social justice. So there will be a new commission dealing with those issues. And we've had some review of where we are with the budget, and it doesn't appear we're is in as bad a situation as initially was thought. But certainly there are going to be constraints to the budget because of the money that we get from food, also from motel tax, and we also talked about what the process would be like for looking for a city manager. So those are the main areas that have been discussed in council. Any questions?
No, I think I'm interested in the city manager process, but I can read about that in the, you know, in your council report. Okay, Natalie, how about an education report?
Great, thank you. So our wonderful chair, Ann Bellegia, is giving a Zoom presentation on January 27th on identity, purpose, and meaning for aging adults. And actually, the signups are going pretty well. I know Ann had just asked me last week, and since that time, registration has doubled. I think having it in our city source newsletter really helps. A staff person reached out from Mountain Meadows, actually. And so we're working with them to help facilitate that for their residents who might not have the Zoom skills so that their staff will support that. So I really think that that topic resonates very well with a lot of our community. So thank you, Anne, for stepping up for that. And then in February, we have two events. The first is a performance. We have an entirely original radio play that was written by the Ollie Players, who are an improv group that came out of Ollie. And thank you so much to Jackie Bachman with connecting us with this group. So that is exciting. We will be getting a special Zoom webinar license just for 1 month to facilitate, you know, a better transmission of this performance. And then on the 24th of February, we have Marianne Perry presenting about green burials. So, which is another really interesting topic, and I'm sure that there's going to be some community interest that, you know, with our Ashland community, that is something that seems to vibe well, and currently working on future presentations for beyond February, and we'll update you, I guess, at our next meeting in March. Thank you.
Thank you. Sandy, you don't have much time, but... Quick update. Right.
I don't have a whole lot to say. So as has actually been alluded to already, after a bit of a hiatus of a couple of months of the COVID pandemic, we a couple of months ago did get up and running again for the Livable Ashland and All Age Friendly Community subgroup, subgroup of this group. And so the first thing is a needs assessment. And so what we have done is take several sources of data that we already have, and Anne and myself and another one of our members have looked at that data, and there are eight areas that WHO AARP categorize data and programs into, I guess. And so we've analyzed the data according to those. And we will present that. We have a meeting on Thursday, and we will present that to the group on Thursday, and mainly to let the group know what we found, but also to look at, are there gaps and where do we go from here? We know that we'll need more data. We will probably have to do some focus groups. That may be a challenge during this time, but we will talk about that. We continue to want more representation. We now have a permanent, more permanent FOU representative. Some of you know Jean Stallman, and I'm pleased that she's going to be joining us. We've reached out to others and have conversations going, but we don't have confirmation of people.
Actually, we just got confirmation of Asante Ashland.
Oh, is Lee Shapley going to do it? Okay, so we do have that, and we I'll just say we've reached out to the chamber. We've reached out to, we already have the Y, we have the library. So one of the things we're looking at is who would be on this steering committee, and then who would be on a broader stakeholder committee that would meet less frequently. So we're still in the process of really organizing, frankly. But I think I feel like we're now making some progress, in spite of, COVID. So, and you want to, or Eileen, you want to say anything more?
I would just add that especially for some of the visitors, that this is really, viewed as an, intergenerational initiative, and so livability across the age span, and that's why we're very happy to have people from the Y and SOU
and the library
because they're serving all those groups. And so it's not just, even though it's got an age-friendly network label within AARP, we have a broader sense, and this is actually consistent with the direction that the council had requested in looking more broadly. And of course, seniors are part of families, and everything that happens, the benefits families, kind of everyone benefits. So anyway, all right. Well, we're sort of coming up on I can't even see anymore. Let's see. Oh, yeah.
And we need to just make sure there's no other items from ASAC members or other work groups.
Right. And I believe that Steph had something. Unmute, Steph.
My item really was advocating for seniors to be serviced in terms of COVID-19. Vaccinations in terms of the vaccine. Many other states have seniors at a higher priority than our state. And there are also many states are now just abandoning some of the regulations because they feel like the vaccines are just sitting on shelves. So I don't know if there is a way of advocating to be sure that our seniors are, since the death rate is highest there, are advocated for since we're a senior group.
Eileen, I'm wondering if, I think the actually lack of information about what is going to happen and when and where and so forth. I'm just wondering if an inquiry to the Jackson County Public Health would be a good conduit for finding out what is planned and on what timetable, and to see if they share some of that prioritization. I know they're being directed by the state of Oregon, but perhaps they're not looking at the demographics where Jackson County is older than the rest of the state. So they may not be thinking that way, Steph. And I think that's at least, if nothing else, we ought to find out what is going on.
Well, just letting them know what you just said is probably important.
Yeah, we've got the data.
And even if there isn't a plan, it would push them to develop one.
Well, they probably have a plan, but
they do.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Well, Yeah. Okay. Currently what they're doing, yeah.
Eileen?
We certainly, we could inquire with Jackson County Public Health. Natalie actually made contact to them last week, I think, because we have been having a lot of questions from the public. Natalie and I very closely follow the guidance from Oregon Health Authority. And my interpretation so far is they haven't made a detailed plan for that later stage. You know, they've been announcing earlier groups, but not the later ones yet. We've had at least one person mention to us, you know, will we do a clinic at Ashland Senior Center? I don't want to rule that out, but we're really at the mercy of a much larger system. And if we did do a clinic, it would have to be a drive-through clinic. I was actually looking into a flu shot clinic last fall, and we were about to put it all in motion and got legal department approval and figured out how to do it. And then the fires came and just couldn't go there. There was too much uncertainty again. So I'm not going to rule that out, but we need to learn a lot more about what channel those vaccinations are going to come in, and, you know, where clinics, are they going to come to other public clinics? Natalie, is there anything you want to add from your conversation with Jackson County Public Health last week?
They didn't really seem to know, honestly, any more than me, and I wasn't talking to a high-ranking staff person. They just recommended checking back. Jackson County Health and Human Services does have a specific phone number for immunizations. This is general. They are not specific to COVID-19 vaccinations, but that is the line that I called, and she said it was okay to give that phone number to anyone inquiring. At this time, they wouldn't necessarily have more information. So another helpful source is the Oregon Health Authority's COVID vaccine website. That seems to be where they are. Then again, that is not specific to our county, but it doesn't seem, that kind of information is only available at this time at the state level. So we've also been referring to that. They have a general COVID-19 vaccine question email. Unfortunately, there's no phone number, so it's a little hard to stay on top of everything as it comes out, but we are constantly monitoring it.
Well, I think one thing, Eileen, you could say is that there's a high degree of frustration because you're getting these inquiries, that there needs to be a better communication to the general public about this. I looked at their website. It's way vague. And they also, I think the other part of it is, I think it'll be a hardship for seniors to be waiting in long lines, like hour-long lines at CVS or someplace to get a shot. I mean, they need to have some way to avoid people getting COVID while they're waiting to get the vaccine.
I'm wondering if ASAC, you know, while we could make more inquiries with the public health, if the goal is advocacy, I think it might come better in the form of a letter from ASAC to Jackson County Public Health and to Oregon Health Authority, could CC our state level representatives. They've helped us get answers out of OHA before. So I'm wondering if that's something that ASAC wants to make a motion to ask Ann and staff to draft that letter.
I'd like to make that motion.
Do we have a second?
I'll second. I don't think it'd hurt. I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Has anybody talked to Tanya Phillips yet?
Who's Tanya Phillips?
She's the public information officer for Jackson County Public Health. She issues a press release daily, but the press doesn't necessarily
pick it up.
Yeah. But you've talked to Tanya, have you, Eileen?
I haven't because I was away last week. She typically is my first point of contact. I've contacted her 4 or 5 times over the pandemic with very modest outcomes from
really.
That. Yeah, I'm glad you're reminding me of her role as that public information officer. Maybe I should have higher expectations when I contact her. I was beginning to wonder if I needed to go higher to the medical officer, but I think a letter might be important. So often the answer is they don't have more information than we have. So, it's been different issues I've contacted her about.
I think we as a minimum, we'll want to get how they plan to communicate it. Even if they don't have the information now, when they have it, what is their process? And so you and I, Eileen, can work on the letter. And if do you is that something that the group needs? We could send out the letter so that the group could agree with the verbiage, or is that just something we do? I don't know how that works.
In the past, the committees usually just empower the chair, just because it becomes a public meeting if we all start having a discussion over email.
Okay.
This is also time sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
People are dying.
I do.
And they're mostly seniors.
Okay. Well, I don't want to die. I'll work on it.
Okay. Good idea.
I think it's also good to know that I believe that when Tanya tells you she doesn't have any information, she really doesn't have any information.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Shames doesn't probably know any more than Tanya knows.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, that's just the way it's going to be for right now. And they're working. I know that they are working on updating their website and trying to get more information and getting that out. So, I think if you're going to be asking them about in terms of how they may be communicating that to the public, but there again, Tanya issues a press release daily.
Well, let me just say that the first Ollie Community Lecture on February 10th is on being presented by Lee Shipley at Asante Ashland, and the topic is COVID-19 and the Rogue Valley response.
Good.
And he will be at our Livable Ashland meeting on the 14th. So we'll have an opportunity to ask him if he's heard anything, because that would be nice to know. We have our next meeting on Monday, March 8th, 3:30 to 5 p.m. And we are out of time. I hope that Eddie is no longer with us, but Barbara is here. And so if you guys could get back to me and let me know how you're feeling about the work of this group, that would be great. And let's continue to reach out for other possible Ashland residents who could be interested in this.
Well, thank you for the opportunity for being here. It was very interesting.
Great. Well, thank you.
Good to see you, Barbara.
Good to see all of you guests, Jack. Mark, thanks for hanging in there.
Yeah.
Linda, yeah. Oh, the ghosts.
Can we say goodbye?
Yeah.
I just love Zoom.
I hate it. I have too many Zoom meetings already, and I don't want any more.
Thanks for having us, and we hope, looking forward to getting together with you again.
Great, thanks, Linda. Mark,
Thanks, Anne, for a meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Good
Thank
job.
You.
Good job. See y'all.